Raina Namaskri Chanaram Chevanarotamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudi Rayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Chapter entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, Text Number 6. Griheshu Kutadameshu,
Griheshu Kutadameshu,
Putradara Dhanartadi,
Putradara Dhanartadi,
Naparam Vindate Mudo,
Naparam Vindate Mudo.
Ramyan samsara batmasu
Ramyan samsara batmasu
Griheshu kutadameshu
Griheshu kutadameshu
Putradara dhanartadi
Putradara dhanartadi
Naparam vindate mudo
Naparam vindate mudo
Ramyan samsara batmasu
Ramyan samsara
Griheshu kutadameshu Putradara dhanartadi Naparam vindate mudo Ramyam samsara vatmasu Griheshu kutadameshu Putradara dhanartadi Naparam vindate mudo Ramyan samsara vatmasu Griheshu
In family life
Kutadameshu
Kutadameshu
In false occupational duties.
In false occupational duties.
Putra.
Putra.
Sons.
Sons.
Dara.
Dara.
Wife.
Wife.
Dana.
Dana.
Wealth.
Wealth.
Artha.
Artha.
The goal of life.
The goal of life.
D.
D.
One who considers.
One who considers.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Param.
Param.
Transcendence.
Transcendence.
Vindate.
Vindate.
Achieves.
Achieves.
Muta.
Muta.
Rascal.
Rascal.
Brahmyam.
Brahmyam.
Wandering.
Wandering.
Samsara.
Samsara.
Of material existence.
Of material existence.
Vatmasu.
Vatmasu.
On the paths.
On the paths.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are interested only in so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder entangled by sons and a wife and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. Translation responsibly. Those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life.
Those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life.
Namely, remaining as a householder.
Namely, remaining as a householder.
Entangled by sons and a wife.
Entangled by sons and a wife.
And searching after wealth.
And searching after wealth.
Think that such things are life's ultimate goal.
Think that such things are life's ultimate goal.
Such people simply wander.
Such people simply wander.
In different types of bodies.
In different types of bodies.
Throughout this material existence.
Throughout this material existence.
Without finding out the ultimate goal of life.
Without finding out the ultimate goal of life.
Purport. Those who are too much attached to family life, which consists of entanglement with wife, children, wealth, and home, are engaged in kuta dharma, sado, duties. Prahlad Maharaj has likened these pseudo occupational duties to a dark well under Kupram. Prahlad has purposefully spoken of this dark well because if one falls into this well, he will die. He may cry for help, but no one will hear him or come to rescue him. The words Brahmyam Samsara Padmasu are significant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja 19.151, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavana Jiva. All living entities are wandering in different types of bodies throughout different planets, and if in the course of their wanderings they come in contact with a devotee by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their lives become successful. Even though King Prachini Bahishat was engaged in fruitive activity, the great sage Narada appeared before him. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narada, who enlightened him in spiritual knowledge. It is the duty of all saintly persons to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and travel all over the world to every country and village, just to instruct illusion persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruitive activity. Amagyan timadandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurimulitam jena tasmai shri gurudeva namaha. Shri Chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapatantikam Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a nice verse from the Bhagavatam. What is this verse teaching us? That this material world is temporary and full of suffering. Krishna created the material world. Why? Because we wanted to be separate from Him. There's no necessity of the material universes existing. There's no need for this world. It doesn't need to exist. But we wanted to be separate from Krishna. Right? Just like if someone plans a town, builds a city. So they plan a city, and part of this city, they plan for a jail. Because they know people will need to be corrected. Not everyone will behave properly. So it's part, it's not necessary. But then it is necessary because some people will misuse their independence. So in the same way, the material world is not necessary. But because we misuse our independence, then Krishna creates the material world for us. Right? It's a punitive center. It's a place you go to get corrected. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it is Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Dukalaya means it is full of suffering, and Ashashvatam means it is temporary. So, why do we come to the material world? Because we want to enjoy. Anandamaya Vyasa, the living entity wants to enjoy. Hands up if you like to enjoy. No one. One person. Two people, very good. Two people like to enjoy. Three people like to enjoy. Four people, three and a half. Like to enjoy, but the rest of us do not like to enjoy. No, everyone wants to enjoy. Enjoyment is the essence of existence. Ananda mayo vyasat. Everyone is looking for ananda, bliss, all the time. But we look for it in the wrong place. We come to the material world and we think, oh, I will be happy here. So you try to be happy separate from Krishna. It doesn't work. Because Krishna says, okay, go and be happy. But, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. your happiness in this material world will be mixed with suffering. So how can you be happy if you know that at the same time you'll be suffering, or in the future you'll be suffering? That's not really happiness. That's just cessation of suffering. That's all that is. It means, okay, you're not happy at the moment. Or you could say, you're suffering at the moment. And when the suffering stops, you call that happiness. But that's not really happiness. That's just cessation of suffering. It just means the suffering is not going on. Different examples. Over the years, I've heard many classes. So one devotee gave the example. There was one king, and the king had a sword, and the sword was directly above where he would eat prasadam. So it was hanging directly above, just on a thin piece of string. So the whole time, that's what the material world is like. You're taking prasadam, but the whole time, anything can happen. So how can you really be peaceful? How can you be peaceful in the material world, where in any moment the sword can go... Or another example, back in the medieval times in Europe, they used to call some people, they would say they were witches. You know, a witch. What do they call in India? Buddha. Witches? Buddha? Isn't it pitchery or something they call it? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Kateri.
Kateri or Kateri? Kateri. Yeah, Kateri. Yeah. Witch.
Putana.
Putana, yeah. She was a witch. Yeah, Kateri. Yeah. So then, someone was a witch. They'd say, okay, you're a witch. They used to do this in Europe. 500 years ago, they were doing this. You're a witch. So they would get you, and they would tie you, they put a log over the river. And they'd tie you to the end, tie you up on the log, and they'd put the log underwater. And then you're underwater, drowning. And after 1 minute, they would lift you up, and you like that. And then after, just take the air, then back down under again. They used to do this to people. Right? Horrible people. Right? So, at that moment you come up, you think, oh, I'm happy. That's not happiness. That's just in between the suffering. And then bang, you're back down again. So the material world is like that. Right? If you're happy, that just means you're not suffering at the moment, that's all. So enjoy yourself. Because it doesn't last. Right? But that's the material world. But just for that little bit of cessation of suffering, we will do so much austerity. Right? All the people are doing austerity. Just like now, if you go to the Westgate Bridge. Westgate Bridge key? Check. So Westgate Bridge is just over there. If you go there now, what is happening? Traffic jam. It's austerity. Have you been caught in traffic jam? Right, you go over there on Westgate Bridge. If you're there right now, it's austerity. You know, just everyone's just driving like this. It's just austere. It's not the way human life is meant to be. It's just suffering. But they will do that. They will do all that suffering, all that austerity, just so at the end of the week, they can have a little bit of sex life. Prabhupada says. Right? Just so you can get a little bit of sex life. Right? You'll go through so much suffering. A little bit of sex life, oh, it's okay. I'll do it all again next week. What is that called?
Madness,
very good.
Illusion.
Pramata, very good. Maya, very good. Muta. Muta, very good. Yeah, Muta, Pramata, Maya, all these things. It's correct. It's madness. Why would you do that? Prabhupada was driving in Sydney down the road, and then one town in Sydney is called Parramatta. You know Parramatta in Sydney? Parramatta Dhanaki. Parramatta. And Prabhupada saw it, he said, what is that? They said, Parramatta. Prabhupada said, Pramatta. Pramatta means mad. He said, Pramatta. That whole place is Pramatta. So this is it. Material world means so much suffering, but you get a little bit of pleasure. Okay, I'll tolerate that. That's madness. But that's what the material world is. Dukkhalayam, ashashvatam.
So we come to the material world to enjoy, but it is the opposite. You cannot enjoy here. Because the living entity is looking for enjoyment. But where is enjoyment? In the spiritual world. Golokera, Prima Dham, Harinam,
Sankirtan.
So it says that from Goloka, Harinam, Sankirtan came down into this material world. What is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
No, not one. You cheated. You looked at the words. Alright, say it without looking. Okay, so what is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Where does it come from?
The song.
Very good. Sound of which flute? Yeah, the Hare Krishna, this is in Anchalila. Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada explains. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute. Krishna is playing his flute right now in the spiritual world. And then that sound goes down into the material world. It comes as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It comes as the sound. That is the sound. It is Krishna's voice. Why does that come into the material world? To wake everyone up. This is how Prabhupada explains. Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means spiritual sound. Because in the material world, there is no pleasure. But in the material world, you can be completely blissful. By absorbing yourself in spiritual sound. By hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? You absorb yourself in the Hare Krishna Mantra. Right? And then the bliss that you get from that takes you out of the material world. Golokera Premadam. It means it takes you to Goloka Vrindavan. In the songbook of the Vaishnava Charyas, there's one book there. All the books that the songs that Prabhupada translated of the Vaishnava Charyas. Then in the introduction, it says, Prabhupada says, there is no place safer in the material world than. What does he say? In Kirtan Ras. Prabhupada said, no place is safer in the material world than when you're in the Kirtan. Right? But it means Kirtan Ras. What does Rasa mean? Yeah, mellow, juice. Pleasure. Rasgulla. Rasmalai. What does that mean? Juicy gula. Sweet, yeah, sweet, juicy, like that. Imagine if the rasgulla was not soaked in the sugar syrup. Right? They just rolled it and just gave it to you. Offered it. No, it's not pleasurable. It has to be soaked, juicy. Actually, when there is rasa in the vegetables, juice, that's when it becomes. Like if the broccoli is dry, it's been sitting there for 1 week, it's all dry and shriveled. There's no pleasure in that. No. When something is juicy, then you get pleasure. So rasa means the pleasure. Kirtan ras means the pleasure in the kirtan. The pleasure in the kirtan does not come automatically. It becomes when your mind is entwined in the kirtan. Just like King Kulasekhar, you know King Kulasekhar? Mukunda Mala Stotra. He wrote it. He was a great king in South India. Kulasekhar. Very nice story. Prabhupada translated partially the Mukunda Mala Stotra from King Kulasekhar. So King Kulasekhar says, let my mind be like the swan. And if you see the swan has a long neck. And then there is the lotus stem, the lotus flower in the lake. He said, let my mind be like the neck of the swan, which tangles itself around the lotus stem. So let my mind go around Krishna's lotus feet. Absorb yourself in Krishna. So when you're chanting the Hare, that's Kirtan Ras. It means you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Your mind is like completely absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet. Actually, it says, some advanced devotees, when they're chanting their japa, you meditate when you're chanting on the beats, you're massaging the toes of Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. This is one way you can meditate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is Kirtan Ras. Not when your mind is somewhere else. You're chanting Hare Krishna, your mind is in Bali. Or Kerala. Or Hawaii. Or any of these places. If your mind is somewhere, but that's not Kirtan Ras. Kirtan Ras means you are there. So that takes prayer. And Prabhupada says that is the safest place in the material world. Even if you're in the material world, if you're fully absorbed in chanting the holy names and taking shelter, Nam Ashraya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Nam Ashraya. Nam Ashraya means you take shelter of the holy name. Then the material world does not affect you. No. You will be happy, you will be blissful. Even if you're in the material world. But you won't feel like you're in the material world. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, says there is nothing lacking in the material world except Krishna consciousness. So if you're Krishna conscious, the material world is the same as spiritual. Almost. But you can feel blissful, even here in this material world. But if you forget Krishna, then you will suffer. Right? If you are suffering, that means you are not remembering Krishna. You're not connected to Krishna. Because if you're connected to Krishna, you will not suffer. So King Kulasekhar, because this verse is speaking about the suffering in the material world. Why does the Bhagavatam speak about suffering in the material world? Why doesn't the Bhagavatam just speak about Krishna's pastimes? Why does it speak about suffering in the material world?
So that we can relate.
Relate to it, yeah. And?
It speaks about birth-saving compared to birth. It speaks about birth-saving compared to birth.
Yeah, yeah. So you can compare the both. Why else? Yeah, Moksha. Because it means you become detached. That's why the Bhagavatam speaks like this. The Bhagavatam is saying, Jivjago, Jivjago, Gaura Chandra. Lord Chaitanya is saying, wake up, wake up. Bhagavatam is saying, wake up. This whole pastime of Paranjana, right, is spoken for one reason, to breed detachment in the heart. At the end of hearing this pastime, you should be a sannyasi. A lot of initiations taking place next month. All the sannyasis. Why? Because that's what Paranjana's pastimes do. They make you detached from this world. We have to become detached. So King Kulasekhar in the Mukundamala Sotra, he also speaks in a way to make you detached. He says the material world is like an ocean. Just like if you go on a boat and you go out there into Bass Strait in the boat. Not even like the boats we have these days, like the Spirit of Tasmania, but like on a sailboat. So you go out into the middle of Bass Strait. Bass Strait is very rough, right? Some of the roughest ocean in the whole world. Right? So you go out there and you're in the boat. And then you fall overboard. Or even worse, you jump overboard. Right? What do we say when someone leaves this con?
Bloop.
They bloop. Right? The devotees still say that?
Yeah, I see.
You say it? Bloop? Yeah, we still say it. You know where that came from? Bloop? Right?
From the bottom, top?
Yeah, it came from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said bloop. When someone leaves this con, we say they blooped. Now, what does it mean? It means you're on the boat, ISKCON's a boat, Prabhupada is the captain. Right? We're going along, going through the ocean of material existence, trying to get back home, back to Godhead. If you stay in the boat, you will get back to Krishna. But some devotees, they jump off the boat. And Prabhupada says they think they will jump in the ocean and make a big splash, but they just go bloop. That's what we think. You know, we jump off, I'm back in the material world. You start bloop. Material world just goes. Covers you. You bloop. That's where the saying comes from. Progress. So you're in the material ocean. You're out there in the material ocean. And King Kula Shekhar says, when you're in the material ocean, what happens? Right? Big waves come. It's not nice out there. You're stuck out there in the ocean. It's like, it's terrible. Big waves are coming. Getting you. And he says, those waves are the modes of material nature. Right? Goodness. Passion. Ignorance. Just hitting you all day long. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14. What is chapter 14 called?
3 months of material nature.
Oh, 3 months of material nature. So Krishna says, the modes are always fighting for supremacy. Alright? Even right now, we're sitting here. Ignorance is trying to cover us. Passion is trying to cover us. Goodness is trying to cover us. Like that. They're all fighting for supremacy. Right? So you have to situate yourself in goodness. Right? Because goodness is advantageous for spiritual life. Passion and ignorance are not so advantageous. So they're fighting for supremacy. So the waves are like that. You're in the ocean, hit by the modes of nature. And then he says the winds. When the wind comes, the waves get bigger. And he said the winds are lust, anger, and greed. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, lust, anger, and greed are? Three gateways to hell. If your conscience becomes covered by lust, or anger, or greed, you just go down to hell. Hare Krishna. See you next time. See you when you get back from hell. Right? Going down. Right? So the winds are like lust, anger, greed. Three modes of nature. And then you're in the ocean and you're being smashed around trying to stay afloat. Big waves are coming. And then you realize underneath, right, sharks are there. How would you feel? Right. You have enough trouble already, and then sharks come. And who are the sharks? King Kula Shekhar says, your family members. Your family members, like big sharks coming in. Give me 100,000 rupees. Give me this, give me that. Everyone's just grabbing you all the time. Family. So underneath, you're being attacked. Right? So you're being attacked up here, being attacked down here. And if that is not bad enough, then Kula Shekhar says, then a big whirlpool starts. You seen the whirlpools? You know, big like, goes like this, and you start getting sucked in. Right? And what is that? King Kula Shekhar says, your wife. Or your husband. Either one. Your wife. Just when you think, I can make it. And then your wife just pulls you in. Attachment. Because it is attachment to the opposite sex. Pumsa Striya Maituni Bhava Metam. What keeps us in the material world is attachment to the opposite sex. So that pulls you down into the material ocean. And you stay in the material whirlpool. Just suffering. So that is the material world. Material world key.
Enjoy.
So enjoy yourself. You came here to the material world to enjoy. And there is no enjoyment. Right? It's just suffering. Right? And the little bit of enjoyment you get in between the suffering, you say, oh, that's okay. Well, that's good enough. I will stay here. I'll put up with everything just for a little bit of sex life at the bottom of the whirlpool. That is enough to keep the material, the living entity in the material world perpetually. So that is why the Bhagavad Gita, that is why the Bhagavad Gita speaks like this. It is very heavy. Now Prabhupada says, the saintly devotee should become like Narada Muni. Our duty is to liberate the conditioned souls on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra, Bole. Wake up. That's why we go out on Harinam. That's why we go out and distribute books. That's why we go and distribute prasad. That's why we preach to the conditioned souls. We try to help them become Christian. Don't sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya. You're happily asleep. Maya has two shaktis, two potencies. One is pulling down, one is covering. Right? She covers you to make you forget Krishna. And then if you're trying to get out of the material world, go back to Krishna, and she pulls you back down. So that is her job. It is a selfless job to keep you in the material world. So what is our duty? Our duty is to go out and try to help people become Krishna conscious. And then next week is Kartik Mas. So that is very important. Now you have to plan. Because when Kartik comes, the devotees take vrata, they take vows. Right? How will I get closer to Krishna? Kartik is described, it is like a Boxing Day sale at Myers. Have you been to a Boxing Day sale at Myers? Day after Christmas. Right? People line up, the doors open at 9 or, I think they open early now, 7 or something, on Boxing Day. So Christmas is a big consumer mirage. Right? Everyone, they put all the prices up and they say, come, Christmas is coming. They know everyone's going to buy Christmas presents. So Christmas is coming, and you come and you buy and you buy and you buy. So on Christmas Day, you can give something to your family. And then you open it up and you say, oh, I didn't really want that anyway. But then you look at them and you smile and say, oh, thank you very much.
Just what I wanted.
Yeah, just what I wanted. The most stupid thing in the world, just what I wanted. I know, so, you know, sometimes I get Christmas presents and then I re-gift. And during the year when it's someone's birthday, then I give them that Christmas present. So it's good for that. I hope no one's watching one. Okay. So sometimes that happens. You know, you get all these things. So, but the stupid thing is that on the Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, you go to Myers, everything goes down half price. Right? They have Boxing Day sale. Right? And hundreds of people, even thousands of people, at 7 o'clock in the morning on 26th, they're all standing outside of mine. As soon as the door's open, they run in because everything's... So why would you spend all the money before Christmas if the next day you can get everything half price? But people, they get caught up in this whole thing. Right. So Kartik means everything is half price. Right? It says in Kartik, when you chant the holy name, you get thousands of times more benefit. Any service you do, you get thousands of times more benefit. So we should become very serious for 1 month. And devotees take vows. Every day I will come for Mangalati. Or different, devotees take different vows. Just like Bhakti Saprabhu. You know Bhakti Saprabhu? Right? He was Brahmachari. He was here a few years ago. So he took a vow when he was here, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something. In Kartik, he would read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the verses. Not the purports, but the verses, in 1 month. So he had to read for 3 or 4 hours a day. And in 1 month, he read the whole Bhagavatam. Very nice. So many things you can do. I can chant extra rounds. I can read Bhagavatam. I would come Mangalati every day. Some devotees took a vow. I would distribute books every day. So every day they went out and distributed books. One devotee, Harinam Ruchi devotee. What's his name? Harinam and Naprabhu, yeah. He took a vow, I will go on Harinam every day for 1 month. So sometimes I think he went by himself. He just went to St. Kilda, just danced around for 1 hour and then came back. Okay, so many vows you can take. Makartik means, if you want to get out of the material world, you have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. So Kartik means you can become very serious. Prabhupada said, every day in Kartik, we have to offer a lamp to the deities, and we have to sing the Damodar Ashtika. So that's the minimum. But then you can do so many other services. Purify your consciousness, go back to Krishna, eat Mahaprasad and Goloka Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. See Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Madhvacharya. Appearance day. So we are in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. Right. So our Sampradaya is coming from Madhvacharya. There are four Sampradayas. And each Sampradaya has a Sampradayic Acharya. So there is Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Ramanujacharya, and Madhvacharya. Yeah. So we are in the line from Madhvacharya. Right. Now, why is the line coming directly? It says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, if you read the disciplic succession, who is first in the disciplic succession? Krishna. Then? Brahma. Then? Narada. Then? Vyas. Then? Madhva. Right. So Vyas is 5,000. He still lives in Bhadrak Ashram. Srila Vyasa still lives in Bhadrak Ashram in his spiritual form. Madhvacharya went there about 800 years ago or 1,200 years ago, something like that. So he went to Bhadrak Ashram and he took initiation. He heard the Bhagavatam from Srila Vyasadeva. Right. So that's why we are in the Madhva Sampradaya. He was very powerful. It says, I've read that he's an incarnation of, I think it is like Hanuman or Bhimasen. He was very powerful. He was sannyasi, but he was very powerful. And it said he could eat like 20 bananas at one time. So he was so powerful. He was so, like that. And he was a very powerful wrestler. Now, sometimes you say, if you want to take initiation from me, you have to beat me in wrestling. So he would wrestle with his disciples. They're very powerful. And he drove the Mayavadis out. He was very powerful in his preaching. So there are some things about Srimad Bhagavatam.
So, in the material world, for something, then why is it that a person who is actually a goodness, he experiences happiness? Actually, for a person like that, there's no suffering in that.
No, not no suffering, but...
Less suffering.
Yeah, less suffering. Yeah. Yeah, because as we said, Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur said, there's nothing lacking here except Krishna consciousness. So if you live in the mode of goodness, it's pleasant. You can have a pleasant life here in the material world and you can become Krishna conscious. But most people mix their lives with too much passion and ignorance and therefore they suffer.
But I'm just thinking that for a person more passion and ignorance, if you tell him that this whole world is full of suffering, he can relate to it. But for some person who's more situated in the mode of goodness, it might be difficult for him to relate to it because he experiences actually happiness. How can you preach to that?
So it says in the Bhagavad Gita that sattva gun, it conditions you to the sense of knowledge and happiness. So there's a danger there as well because you can become complacent. Oh, material world's nice. Like that. So to, as you said, to preach those people, it is difficult. Because if someone's very kind of satisfied and you say, oh, you know, the material world's full of suffering, I say, not so bad for me. So yeah, it's difficult. So you just have to wait. Give them a few years. Because suffering will come. There's no such thing as constant like that. And when that comes, then you can do it. One time I was in Tasmania. You know Tasmania?
Yeah.
Yeah, just there. Just down there, like over the ocean. So I was there in 1996. So I was a brahmachari. I was wearing saffron cloth, like you guys. And I was distributing books. And then while I was there, they had the Port Arthur Massacre. I don't know if you've heard of that, but one guy, he went crazy and he shot many, many people. I think 37 people, maybe more. Well, shot them, killed many people. I think even to this day, I think it's still the highest mass shooting in the world. He killed like so many people. Maybe not anymore. But so the week after that, I was there distributing books. Everyone was buying books because everyone was walking around like this. And I sold a book to one of the doctors who was working in the hospital when all the bodies came in. His job was to find all the bullets in the bodies. I said, you know, I stopped him on the street. I said, you know, and he said, what have you got? And I told him, you know, the book. And he brought the book, no problem. I sold a book to a girl who was in the cafe when he was killing everyone. She was hiding behind the counter while everyone was getting shot. So easy, she just brought the book. So everyone, it was like the books were just jumping out of the box, literally. I had boxes of books, it's like, just everyone was walking up to me. Yeah, what have you got? Just everyone. So when people are suffering, they wake up. But the week before that, you know, it was a struggle. You know, you had to really convince everyone. The week after, no problem. So when suffering comes, people will become. So if someone's in the mode of goodness, just wait. Suffering will come. There's no, nothing is constant in this world. Hare Krishna. Okay. You had a point?
I was going to say, in my experience, a lot of people that I've met who have done well in their life, they're thankful to God. And the people who were suffering in their lives is looking that God, will improve things for them. But it's not all bad, but it's just hysterical.
Good point. Any other points? Yeah, it's the same thing. Sometimes people are suffering too much. Like you said, they have some cancer or something. And then their minds are so disturbed that you cannot speak to them. Right? So you have to get people at the right time. If they're too much enjoying or too much suffering, they may not be able to hear. So don't preach to them at that time. You know, if someone's really suffering, don't tell them you're suffering because they're suffering. They know. So just let them, when it eases off, then you can preach. So it is like that. When we're suffering, like we have cancer or something, it's a test. Some people go closer to Krishna, some people go further away from Krishna. So it's a test. Even devotees, right? There's one Prabhupada disciple actually. He got cancer, and then he was very honest. He said, when I got cancer, I felt like, why is Krishna doing this to me? So he felt like he went further away from Krishna. But then after some time, he felt like it brought him back to Krishna again. So it's a test for everyone, these things. So just be very, how do you call it? Patient and very sensitive when people are going through their suffering. Don't push things on them. Just like, you know, when someone loses someone, like if we lose our father, our mother, our husband, our wife, one of our children, and then the devotee comes up and says, oh, you're not the body. It's the wrong time for that. It's the worst time for that. Right? Just let them, you know, process the whole thing. And after a few weeks, then they'll be okay. Then you can say something.
Now, that one way
that
I think that these Buddhas to preach to those who are no bad, you can say that, is giving them prasad and kirtan. Because inconsciously they start to purify themselves, so in one form maybe they do the, without suffering maybe they do the trick, and so what is that, and then go one way to, because it's joyful, like prasad and kirtan.
Yeah. Good. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.